Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Wednesday, the 24th of February, 2021. I'm joined by Callum, and you'll notice that you're not watching this on YouTube because we have received a community strike for saying something we don't believe we said. By the way, John, I can still hear the music in the ear. I don't know whether that's... No worries. Okay. So we've had to very quickly cobble together alternatives because it turned out we were relying on YouTube because... We're silly. But hopefully you can see this just fine on our website, on Facebook, and on DLive. And are we anywhere else?
No, I think that's it.
I think that's it. So this is kind of exclusive, isn't it? It's very nice. That's the reason that we're probably not going to be able to do video comments today. But normally we would do video comments, so we apologize. We're a bit technical kerfuffle on the back end, but I think everything's fine.
So if you know anyone who's a subscriber who... You know, might not know, send this to them as well.
Yes,
because
please.
I'd like as many people to know as possible.
Yes, please do share it around, let other people know, tell other content creators who might be interested or concerned, things like that. We'd really appreciate it. So before we begin, and we've got loads to go through today as others, it's really good stuff today. Before we begin, we have a new premium podcast, which is Callum's Look Into Ethical Companies and How They Are Not a New Phenomenon, and in fact very much reflect the guild system of medieval England and the sort of Christian infrastructure that didn't begin there but took it over and ended up essentially stealing money from hardworking people to pay for a moralistic regime. Very, very interesting. There's a lot in there I didn't know before we started, so I totally recommend that. And I have put up another think piece on loadseas.com, if we can get that up, John. It's about how I believe that the left has broken the moral compact, the moral agreement, with the right on abortion. Because this was something that I... always never really liked. I never really liked abortion as a concept because obviously you are ending a human life, an innocent human life, and so that in and of itself, the act itself is evil, frankly. And so if you're going to do it, you've got to have a lot of good reasons to do it. And there are some good reasons and some conditions, fair. But the agreement was always, and this was Bill Clinton's formulation that I still hold to this day, safe, legal, and rare. But it's the rare part that has quietly dropped off the moral landscape, isn't it? And so that this is a piece I've been thinking about for quite some time that I think I've done adequate justice for. So you'll find that on loadseas.com. Leave me a comment on there. Let me know what you think. Because I think that it comes down to essentially the sort of Black Lives Matter moral system taking over the left and therefore essentially informing all of their moral decisions. So I'll let that be another thing for another time, because really we are now fully into the progressive future. And this is, I think, what a vision of this progressive future is going to look like. So the first thing is that the people who are engaged and invested in the progressive future are going to be totally disconnected from reality because of non-stop media propaganda and no interest in correcting their mistakes. So this is a Twitter thread by Zach Goldberg in which he points out that Skeptic Mag recently polled 1,000 people about the estimates of the number of unarmed blacks killed by police in America in 2019. And overall, 44% of liberals, so left-wing voters, Democrat voters, thought that more than 1,000 as compared to conservatives, which was based on the whatever calculations. But they thought that more than 1,000 black people a year, unarmed black people a year, were killed by police. Do you know what the actual number was?
I'm going to guess 50.
Nope, 27.
I was going to say it's 20.
27. Okay. That's it. It's such a staggering...
Can we scroll down a little bit just so I can see the full graph? Like, I want to see how bad this was. So you can see some people guessing more than 10,000 a year. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally, there are about 10,000 is a surprisingly large percentage of left-wing views. And it's just like, right, okay... I mean, it's 27. It's not...
The most accurate people there would be the very conservative group. It'd be the conservative group, ever so slightly, by 1%.
Yeah, conservative and very conservative, who guessed about 10, were guessing under, but they were at least within the same sort of order of magnitude.
Yeah, not about 100, which would be the next column.
Yeah, not about 100, which, again, is three times more than is happening. And then 1,000, which is, again, like a surprisingly large number. The very liberal put about 1,000 at 31%. It's like, no, that's not true. It's not anywhere near 1,000. You're a lunatic who doesn't know what the hell's going on, and you watch too much media. Get off of Twitter. And then, of course, you've got, it goes up to like nearly
7% of very liberal.
8% of people who are very, very left wing think more than 10,000 unarmed black people a year are killed by the cops. Imagine living in that world. Like, this is deranged, pure derangement. And this is just the police violence database that maps this, and they said 27. And so, yeah, it's not even... And the thing is, the average liberal respondent also thought that a clear majority of people killed by the police in 2019 were black, when in actuality, only about 25% of the people killed by the police were black. So they're not even the majority of people, of unarmed people that the police have killed in the United States. So this narrative about black people and Black Lives Matter and police violence is not true, and it does not reflect the facts, and they believe total nonsense. So that's the first section. The progressive future doesn't care about facts, it cares about impressions. And these impressions come from places like Twitter. And Twitter is the place where the cultural revolution is in full swing. This is genuinely Maoist stuff. And both Callum and I have read several books about the cultural revolution, so we're not like over-egging it when we say this. This is a really fascinating piece on Inverse, and this kind of summarizes the entire problem. All of the problems with Twitter and popular culture and things of this nature are contained within this, right? So we'll just go through a few things in this. This is Gina Carano Fired, How an Army of Twitter Stans Changed Star Wars Forever. Right, and so this obviously comes in the wake of her being fired. But the thing is, this didn't just happen overnight. This wasn't just a one-time thing. This is something that built up with her having essentially a war with like radical leftists on Twitter, the sort of people who believe that 10,000 unarmed black people a year are killed by the police.
Yeah, the 7% of the country.
The 7%ers, yeah. So this person said that essentially, all of Star Wars online discussion boiled down to hashtag fire Gina Carano and hashtag I stand with Gina. How did it happen? An alliance of extremely dedicated and extremely young fans took it upon themselves to make sure that everyone was included, even in the face of derision. Inverse spoke to three people about the movement, to the Fire Gina Carano movement, to find out how they got one of Star Wars Galaxy's biggest stars fired, why it matters, and what happens next. And they've got a tweet here by, again, just some rando on Twitter. Why people can't understand that Gina Carano isn't the victim, she's the villain. Amazing. Inverse. Total inverse of morality.
The villain of what?
Exactly.
Opposing leftism, I guess.
Yeah, the villain of opposing leftism. And it's a total inverse of morality where literally the angry mob is pointing at her and going, you're victimizing us. We're going to burn your house down or, you know, kick you out of whatever it is. It's mad. But this kind of began in September 2020 when Gina Carano liked a comment by a YouTuber claiming people with pronouns in their bios were mad about the video he made defending her. She claimed that people were harassing her for months to put pronouns in her bio, so she decided to find a way of making light of the hate and echoing Pedro's method. Pedro Pascal is one of her co-stars, and he has his Twitter pronouns in his bio because he's a coward. She decided to change her display name to Gina Carano Boop Bop Beep. And this was heresy.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. But how very dare she? How very dare she? To the Star Wars stan Twitter and trans people like me, the hate she was making light of wasn't against herself, but it was against trans people. She's not a trans people. You were sending hate her way, and she was trying to mock you for hating her. That's what happened here. Joke pronoun.
I just want to move this a second. How are they even going to actually say that what she's doing is wrong? Because they're entitled. Sorry, they would even argue that you're allowed to use their pronouns.
You
or whatever.
Can choose your own
her,
pronouns.
Z, boo, like anything you want. In which case, why is boop, bop, beep not valid by their own ideology?
There's no particular reason other than the fact that she's clearly not doing it sincerely. She's not sincerely submitting to Mao's mob and the student mob, and therefore doesn't matter what she does because it's in the intention in the will. Then she's the villain of the piece. She's not the victim. She's the villain. So joke pronouns, regardless of intent.
I mean, that's where we are.
That's where we are. Yeah. No, we are at the point where we're ruining people's careers over joke pronouns, right, on Twitter. Joke pronouns, regardless of the intent, diminish the importance of sharing pronouns. Yeah, they do.
The importance.
Yeah, they do. Oh, that's the point. because it's not important for me to hear what your pronouns are. That's when hashtag Fire Gina Carano first started. Asking stans whether someone should be fired for conservative opinions yields some surprising answers. Now, what's really surprising about this is the age of these people. One person I asked took 10 minutes to answer because she sincerely couldn't comprehend how I defined the term. Because these stans are typically so young, ranging from 15 to 17 years old, they don't see conservative as a signifier of wanting lower taxes, small government, and deregulation. Conservative to them is increasingly becoming conflated with bigot. What a surprise. Where did they get that information from? Where did they get that impression from? Oh, from radical left-wing propaganda that is poured into their minds from day dot and is just constantly all over Twitter. Like, this is, children should probably not be allowed to use Twitter. There should probably be an age limit on these things. Because
I mean, isn't there meant to be of like 15 or something?
I don't know. There probably should be though, but just by law, right? Because we know that social media does affect the way that you think. It affects the things that your actual like brain chemistry is affected by social media. And we know that Twitter, there are studies that show that Twitter puts you in this constant fight or flight mode. So you're essentially, when you're on Twitter, you're engaging in this constant battle. And I tell you what, I remember like being on Twitter, and that's exactly right. That's exactly how I felt, although I didn't realize it at the time. And it's only because now I'm not on Twitter, I'm like, God, you know, I'm so much more serene now. You know, now I'm not even offended by Gina Carano's mock pronouns. I can't believe it.
But that's the thing, it's because I kind of hate how Twitter has taken as some kind of more mainstream platform than it is. I said this a while ago, but it's essentially Tumblr these days.
Yeah.
Because Tumblr was always the joke of the internet, where the far left sat around. And now they're just all on Twitter. But the only difference is that all the politicians are there, and they seem to think that this is representative of anything but the 7%.
Yeah. This is the 7%ers getting off Tumblr, which is a shame, because they should really go back there. Mm. But I think the important thing there is the fact that, to them, the term conservative just means bigot. It just means someone who's hateful and racist and transphobic and sexist and all these sort of things. So the small cabal of teenagers that use Twitter have got a totally uninformed view of what people who disagree with them think. And so why would you think anything? If you think literally the opponent, the opposition, is just evil, then why wouldn't you become some raging zealot for what you think is good? What's stopping you? You know, why wouldn't you become like Mao's students, where they would just go around burning things down and killing people and eventually require the army to come in and put them down? You know, why wouldn't you become like this? And that's the same sort of phenomenon.
In a literal sense, important.
In a literal sense, you know, which is literally what happened with Mao. Anyway, I think that's wildly ironic, isn't it? The People's Liberation Army are actually called in to save the Forbidden City from the communist revolutionaries. That's just deeply ironic. But anyway,
well, they got the Biden stormtroopers in there now, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And man, that's got some serious Game of Thrones season 8 energy to it as well, doesn't it? Like when you look at the pictures they're putting out with them on the steps of the candles, and it's like, okay, Daenerys, you know, calm down. Anyway, this continues, right? So then we go on to the Ahsoka problem. This Rosario Dawson person. Now, I don't watch The Mandalorian because I actually think it's quite boring, and if this is the best that Star Wars can do, it's kind of unimpressive. But this character has been very well received, because it's quite... If we can scroll back up a second, John, so we can see the picture. That looks like a difficult character to portray in a way that's not cringe, right? But the reports that I've seen from people who watch The Mandalorian are like, actually, this was done really well, this character. And so we're quite impressed. And they're thinking about doing a spin-off series with her called Ahsoka. However, this person, Rosario Dawson, and her family were recently sued by a trans man who claimed they purposefully misgendered and even assaulted him. These charges were dropped, but the fandom on Twitter is like, well, the accusation's enough for me. They say, literally, it bugs me and several other people. I think would make good cast, and they should recast the actress because she already makes so many people feel uncomfortable. So this is the future of pop culture, to be deeply and heavily policed by children on Twitter, and the careers of the actors don't matter, the products themselves don't matter. What matters is the political orthodoxy of the people involved in it.
I mean, like the word cancel culture gets overused, and I think this is a good example to bring it back to what it is, which is that if you upset the political orthodoxy, your piece of culture, in this case this character, cancelled, has to go. Cancel the culture itself, because it offends well, offends our version of reality.
And the thing is, what happens if Disney just ignore this?
7% of people getting miffed?
Not even, because that's a percentage of those 7% that are on Twitter. Mm. And so it's like, you know, so a smaller percentage than that of children are just like, well, I'm not going to watch The Mandalorian. Okay. 90-odd percent of people don't care about any of this, and they're a potential audience that's massive. Like, why? But now you're bringing your company into disrepute because you've just shown the world that you're actually prepared to be led by the nose by a bunch of teenage communists that are just using social media for the habit and for the endorphin rush of having achieved a cancellation. It's like, this is awful. But anyway, this is going to happen to everything now. So the Muppets has been not cancelled. The Muppets, of all things, the Muppets, right, has been... warnings have been put on this, right? So Disney have not yet cancelled this, but they have accepted. Yeah, okay, well...
I think two episodes were deleted.
Spicy. Were they? I wasn't aware.
One was for, I think, copyright, and the other one, I think they had some problems with how it was framed or something like that, like the character.
Right, okay.
I think the character had been convicted of, like, sex crimes, so they just deleted the whole episode.
Oh, really?
It's like, okay.
I did. That's not mentioned in this article.
Yeah. But the other ones they're putting warnings on were purely political.
Yeah, 18 episodes of The Muppet Show have been added to their Disney Plus streaming service, and content warnings have been put on. Content warnings on The Muppets. This program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then, and they are wrong now. If they're so wrong, why do you feel so personally attacked? There's one episode that has Johnny Cash singing in front of the Confederate flag, which I guess hasn't aged well.
It's not even that prominent. Looking back at it, I saw the scene. Yeah, it's just in the side. Background.
But yeah, so stereotyping. It's always wrong, except it's incredibly well predictive. The next one was called Futurama, which also was added to Disney Plus. And there's a particular episode in which Bender transitions from becoming a male robot because he can't compete in the 3004 Olympics. And so he transitions to be a female robot and wins in the women's category.
They make him have an oil change, and all of a sudden he passes the test at the end.
Yep. All I'm saying is that these stereotypes often reflect reality. It's really weird because that's something that really happens. That's something that really happens a lot. In fact, this is what the Turf Store is complaining about. What they're looking at with the transgender inclusion in sports is the end of women's competitions. It'll be the mediocre male-to-female transitions who start winning all of these now. So, okay, well...
They're not going after Family Guy yet.
Family Guy's already been had this done to it.
Okay, because I remember there was that episode where I think it was like...
We'll get to it. Because I actually do have it listed.
Yeah, something here. Okay.
So I love this so much, right? The way this is reported. While people in the comments were quick to point out, someone called this transphobic as F because of this episode. And while people in the comments were quick to point out that it's a cartoon about a man who is frozen for 1,000 years and wakes up in a future filled with robots, others insisted it was an issue. Okay, those people can be ignored. Like, they can just be ignored. Like, one viewer who is trans, this is so great, said it was baffling that another episode of Futurama featured a tentacled monster that uses neo pronouns, and they didn't make fun of that at all, but that every trans person in the show is a hideous caricature. And you felt personally attacked by that. You felt personally attacked, and you describe the trans people being represented as hideous caricatures. Not my words, that's your words. Anyway... This again, the stereotypes are just completely true. He ends up in this episode transitioning back eventually, blah, blah, blah. Right, doesn't really matter. But the point is, they say here, stereotypes are harmful regardless of what the harm is. It's like, okay, but that harmful stereotypes just means true stereotypes.
So what is the harm, though?
Well, the harm is that people might think that there'll be men who don't win in the Olympics who transition to become females and then win. And I don't know. I mean,
so the harm is a description of nature.
Yes. And the harm is, I guess, what the women not being winners in their own categories. Oh, no, that's turf talk, isn't it? That's not what the harm is. The harm is the fact that I don't know. Do you want representation or not? Do you want inclusion in popular culture or not? Yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah, pick one. Exactly. Anyway, moving on. The Simpsons, of course, haven't strictly been cancelled. Just a bunch of the actors in The Simpsons have been cancelled. Michael Richardson, Kevin Michael Richardson, has replaced Harry Shearer as Dr. Hibbert because Harry Shearer had committed the crime of not being black. Coca-Cola, doubtless, have refused him service since then. This Kevin Michael Richardson...
Hang on, that new guy's blacker than Dr. Hibbert.
Well...
So now what, is he too black?
I don't know. I don't even dare contemplate whether this becomes a circumstance where we start... I mean, there are progressives who do judge the blackness of a black person.
Yeah.
But I actually hate all of these racial politics entirely, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that someone isn't black enough to play a black guy, which is...
If that's the complaint, the white guy can't play him because he's not got the right skin tone. Well, this guy doesn't have the right skin tone either.
Well...
Like, if that's the route you're taking, we're not taking that, but that's what these activists are.
I don't have to, like, use the pipette in the color palette to figure out who's black enough.
I don't either. I just want anyone to do the voice.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't care, you know. But anyway, Dr. Hibbert, and there was another one.
So it was Apu.
Hank Azaria played Apu, and Carl Carlson. Carl Carlson had been taken over by someone else, and obviously this guy has been taken over by someone else. He will continue to play Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, and Principal Skinner because they're all white, and he is racially appropriate for
none
those
of,
things.
None of them are white either. All of them are yellow.
Well, they're all yellow, but they're meant to represent white Europeans, I guess.
But that never made any sense because it's like, well, why are the black people in The Simpsons black then? Like how?
I don't know. But it doesn't matter.
It's such an absurd conversation, you know?
It's ridiculous. But the point is, we've come to the point where the progressive future involves racial propriety when it comes to cartoons. If you're not the same color as the cartoon character, it's actually inappropriate for you to play that cartoon character's voice. And you should really have thought about that. The same thing had happened on Family Guy and American Dad. And the same thing had happened on Central Park and Big Mouth as well. Non-white characters were not voicing characters of color. Moving on, other things start looking really bad in the light of this kind of new cultural revolution. And one of those things, hilariously to me, is Grease. Now, growing up, have you ever seen Grease?
I haven't, actually.
It's cringe, right?
Okay.
It's cringe if you were a sort of 12-year-old boy, right? And this is sort of age when all the girls started going on about how much they loved Grease when I was in school. Oh, it's brilliant, it's brilliant. And you watch it, it's like, this is awful.
So it was the twilight of the era.
Yeah. Very much, very much. It's a romantic dance-based movie, basically. They call it a light-hearted romantic musical centering around a high school love affair between Sandy, which is Olivia Newton-John, and Danny, played by John Travolta. Old, cringe, for women. It's, you know, like...
I love how that's your criticism.
Well, no, it's not even a criticism. It's just categorization, right?
No, but it sounds like a criticism.
The audience for Grease is obviously young women who want a romantic musical. Okay. That's fine. I don't care. Let them enjoy it. You know, this is why I've now got to come out and defend Grease. Like, I don't like this, but like... Anyway, this was showed on Boxing Day on BBC One, and many Twitter users were outraged. They called it outdated and said, yes, it was made in the 70s, I think. Yeah, 1970s, right? Someone says, Grease is on. It really has a terrible message, doesn't it? Sorry, but Grease sucks on so many levels. No plots, nothing interesting happens, and the message is pure misogyny. I guess that's why women loved it so much. What the hell? What do you want? Like, it's not for men, is it? It's not like men enjoy this misogynistic message. This is a women's film. They love this film. All through my life growing up, this has been one of the iconic films that women love, right? Critics on Twitter complained about the lyric, "Did she put up a fight?" in the song Summer Night, when Danny talks about hooking up with Sandy. So in this song, the question is being asked about the boys, like, you know, did you get on with her? Did she put up a fight? And he's not saying, did he rape her? He's saying, did she, no, I can't. You know, did he have to, like, seduce her into it, right? And that's what he's talking about. But did she put up a fight? They're all like, oh God, that's rape. That's rape.
If you rip it out of its context.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's nonsense. Others shared disapproval about Sandy's friend Rizzo, who was slut-shamed for having unprotected sex. And driving scene where Sandy and Danny watch a movie together.
Look at that. Look at the word slut-shamed there. They've gotten rid of the L.
They have got rid of the L.
Like the Jewish practice of getting rid of the O out of God.
Yes.
Jesus.
It's a profane word that we can't actually show. We can swear as much as we like, but we can't use the word slut. In the drive-in scene where Sandy and Danny watch a movie together was criticized for being rapey, and others saying it didn't age well. Well, none of it aged well. It was cringe at the time. I don't know what to tell
5
you.
5 seconds in, it wasn't aging well.
And the coup de grace, the piece de resistance, in the film, a radio announcer at the school dance announces there were no same-sex couples on the dance floor. All couples must be boy-girl. Well, Greece, shove your homophobia. Cancelled.
What was the quote? I'm actually interested.
I can't. It's just an announcer that says no same-sex couples on the dance floor. I don't know.
But it is explicit. It's not like, the boys and the girls on the dance floor or something like that.
I can't remember.
Because I can imagine that would also offend them enough.
Oh, doubtless. Yeah. But I can't remember. But anyway, this is not new, of course. Friends was decreed as problematic back in 2018 when it appeared on Netflix and millennials watched it for the first time and they were like, what the hell is this? You know, this isn't progressive. It's like, no, this was made in a free era. But yeah, so they were basically uncomfortable with Friends. And so moving on very quickly, because this is taking longer than I expected it to, but there's so much here. This is the conversation of the progressive future that we're going to be having. Azalea Banks. Look, don't go off the title, because this is the most amazing title you've ever seen in your life. Azalea Banks had a deeply transphobic response to a fan who told her she needed to convert to Judaism in order to become Jewish. These are the conversations of the progressive future. This is what will be discussed forever. Orwellian stamping on the human face. You need to convert to Judaism in order to be Jewish. Oh no, that was a transphobic response to that statement. What is going on here?
I don't understand. What?
Exactly.
How is any of this even connected?
Exactly. How is any of this even connected, right? This is the kind of nonsense conversations, gibberish that is going to be happening in the progressive future, right? This is all you're going to get. So Azalea Banks had posted a picture of her engagement ring because she's marrying some guy called Ryder Rips, who is apparently Jewish, and on her ring, it had a menorah. Can we see the menorah? Go down a little bit, John. There we go, right? It's got a menorah, right? She said yes. So congratulations. She wrote...
So he brought the ring here.
He bought the ring. He proposed to her, would you marry me? And she said yes. And then she put on Twitter, I said yes. I'm Jewish now. Mazel tov, bitches. And in the comments, someone had posted, Judaism doesn't work that way. Okay. And then she replies, well, I tried to tell the trans girls that getting castrated doesn't automatically make them female. But if society can do mental gymnastics to lie and tell them that an eggless person who still produces semen is a woman and let them rock, you are all going to bend the rules to accept this newly black Jewish coochie. I'm Jewish now. You can't stop me.
That is a rough way of putting it. Person who can't, who still produces semen.
That is Stefan Molyneux levels of unvarnished detail. That is amazing. And I mean that's a compliment. Like, that is exactly the kind of response I want to see from celebrities. Like
egg carton memes.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, but she's obviously making the point.
If you can tell a man who castrates themselves that they're a woman, then I'm Jewish. Deal with it. That's an amazing Chad move. Just the Chad, yes, I am.
Well, this is transracialism. It's been going for a while.
It keeps going, right? So the next one, she says to another commenter, because why you can chop your cock off and say you're a girl, but I can't catch the Jewish nut and be Jewish. Stop trying to exclude black people from everything. This is the progressive future of discourse on the internet. I can catch Jewish nut and therefore I am Jewish. That's amazing. I just love everything about this interaction, right? But we're not done. It gets better. She carries on and says, no, you girls are just hot gay boys with beat faces and plastic surgery. That's her view on trans people. You're hot gay boys with beat faces and plastic surgery. I live for the trans girls, but the trans shit is really a non-issue. Just gay boys on hormones using male aggression to force their ways into women's spaces. Y'all are just beautiful N-words, lamau, accept yourselves. If this isn't ripe for a cancelling, I don't know what is.
I mean, it reads like someone
4chan?
S-posting, you know, like, yeah. Like she's having a laugh, but I don't think she is. No, I think she's entirely sincere when she writes all of this.
But what I love about this is that she has been like, hey, you're forcing your way into women's spaces and you're trying to exclude black people from Judaism. It's like, yeah, they are, Azalea. What are you going to do about it? Leverage that identity politics. You may as well. You're in a perfect position to do it. You're a famous black woman. You're one of the most oppressed people on earth, also I'm told. And so just get in there.
But do you want to bet this is going to be literally the future of politics as well?
Exactly.
Like when we have, I don't know, Priti Patel versus
whoever,
you know, whoever Labour puts in charge,
Zara Sultana,
yeah, and they're just gonna be fighting about excluding identity from this identity.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. This is the future of the progressive political discourse. And of course, you end up with rather uncomfortable things like a trans oath keeper who was involved in the Capitol. The oath keepers are a group that involved in the Capitol riots, right?
I thought it was a new group. It was like, we're the trans oath keepers or something.
Maybe they are. I don't know. But this is a lady called Jessica Watkins, who is a trans person and was involved in the Capitol riots, which has put Pink News in a really difficult position because she says that she is at risk of harsh treatment in custody and was left naked in a cell with lights on 24 hours a day for 4 days in full view of everyone else. So this is something that Pink News...
Well, that's actually pretty gross.
That's horrible. Yeah, that's a horrific thing to do. You know, if this is a true allegation, she deserves justice. Of course, nobody should be treated that way, right? But this puts Pink News in a real position because they're like, okay, but we hate the Oath Keepers. We hate the Republicans. We hate conservatives. But she is trans and she is being abused by the system. So what do we do, right? And this is the kind of nonsense that we have arrived at.
What is more important for them in this case, though? The identity or the beliefs?
It seems that the identity. Because this is not this is an article that is favorable, but it's not condemning her.
So right? She could have been a neo-Nazi. And even if she was then treated this way, they'd be like, well, the identity matters more.
The Cat Boys are going to be defended by Pink News.
Jesus.
Yeah, when I start bullying them. Misogynist dadist is bullying fascist cat boys. We need to stand for the cat boys.
Look forward to the articles.
So yeah, this is the future of progressive politics. And this leads us nicely into our next segment, which we'll just go straight into. Black Lives Matter have come out and admitted that they're actually a Marxist group. And I think that's fantastic. So what has happened here is that Black Lives Matter have... I guess we'll say impacted the United Kingdom since the death of George Floyd, which is the death, it seems, from a fentanyl overdose of a black man in Minnesota, who I agree, I think I might be in Minnesota, who I agree probably shouldn't have been knelt on. That looks deeply inappropriate. It seems wrong. But it seems that if you watch the body cam footage before, he was asking to be laid down and put on the floor. He seemed to be something wrong with him. So,
and you can see as they approach him, he puts something in his mouth. That's the case of the prosecution as to why they say he overdosed fentanyl.
Yeah. So is the trial still ongoing? I assume it is.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah.
So we haven't got a result, but...
But something that is, you know, burgeoningly relevant to the United Kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. What's that got to do with the United Kingdom? You know, what's that got to do with, like, the next city over in the United States, you know? But anyway, it's got nothing to do with us. But it's really kind of ravaged the political environment here because the left-wing progressives are like, oh God, we can use this to virtue signal and we can pound the table and really make some hay with this.
Yeah, because the conservatives are so weak, they have no way of fighting back.
Yeah, it's not just that they're weak either, it's that they're empty. You know, they're just empty vessels and Labour are busy slowly pouring in the progressive poison and the conservatives are like, well, I'm a conservative. I'm for transgender children. I'm the conservative here. You know, it's that sort of meme that they are genuinely playing out at this point. But one Nottingham Forest footballer called Lyle Taylor. Now, I just want to stress I know nothing about football. But this chap was on the radio, LBC, the other day, saying that he will no longer be taking a knee before matches because Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group. Now, this, I hate to say... is relevant because this chap is black. If this chap is white, he would be called a bigot, he'd be called a racist, he would be called all...
He wouldn't have a job at the club anymore.
He wouldn't have a job at the club. Well, it depends. A lot of the football associations are sort of, you know, you do have to do these things, but in other places it's not the same. But anyway, it's notable because he's black, unfortunately. It should be notable because he's saying things that are correct, which is why I care about what he's done. But unfortunately for the mainstream, it's notable because of his race. Because that's what progressive politics looks like in the future. So anyway, this came after Crystal Palace's Wilfred Zaha said he would also not take the knee. And he told Nick Ferrari, I took the decision because I felt that enough was enough. Not enough people have looked into the organisation that brought all this to the fore. I said before that I agree with the message that black lives do matter, which obviously everyone agrees with, and something needs to be done that actually to teach the message about that racial inequality and societal injustice needs to stop. I wonder if he is aware that it's actually not as unjust as the progressives make out. You know, there's a good chance that he doesn't actually know what the police killings of unarmed black people are, for example. But anyway.
I imagine I'm going to take that rhetoric as what most people would if an average person said that to you. It's just, I think everyone should be treated fairly.
Yeah, like, and, yeah, sure. And everyone agrees with that. I agree with that, you know, of course. But he then says, but by the same token, we are hanging our hat on a Marxist group who are looking to defund the police. They're looking to use societal unrest and racial unrest to push their own political agenda. And that's not what black people are. We are not a token gesture or a thing to hang your movement on just because that's what's powerful and that's what's going on at the moment. And he said that he feels sorry for white players because they cannot take the knee without being branded racist.
Yeah.
Totally sane, salient statement. And so in response to this, Black Lives Matter UK had to essentially come out and say that, yes, we're a communist organization. This was, but the thing is, they tried to deny it at the same time. So they posted on Twitter, is UK BLM a Marxist organization? They say, no, we're not a Marxist organization. While some of our members are Marxists, not all members are. We are, however, all anti-capitalists, and we are committed to dismantle class as well as gender and racial domination. So, that's enough for me to confirm that they are all communists.
Yeah.
They might be one brand of communist, they might be a different brand of communist, but at the end of the day, if their statement had been, well, not all members of our movement are Nazis, some of them are Nazis, but all of them believe in securing a future for the white race, I'd be like, right, that's a Nazi movement. This is a Marxist movement.
Like, some of them are third positionists, which is totally different.
It's exactly, like, yeah. Some of these are Kropotkinists, don't you know?
Don't waste my time.
Yeah, exactly. Don't waste my time, you commies. You know, you're a communist movement, and you admit that you're a communist movement with this statement. So don't play games with me. And this is, of course, not a surprise.
It's also the good irony, the anti-capitalist tweeting on an iPhone.
That is very... I mean, is the eternal irony of the thing, isn't it? But anyway, this is no surprise because, of course, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter had a leaked bit of footage from, I think it was 2015, where she was in a Zoom call or something like that, and she was like, yeah, I'm a trained Marxist. We're very well versed in ideology. Oh, sorry, we're super versed on sort of ideological theories. I think what we really tried to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk. It's like, okay, there we go. So you admit that you're trained Marxist, you admit that your movement's full of Marxists, and you are a Marxist. You are essentially a communist organization.
Like, isn't the patron saint, like the, what's her name? The Shakur lady who's in Cuba?
Assata Shakur, yeah.
Yeah, after killing cops.
Yeah.
Who's just about an out communist.
Yeah, she's a Marxist-Leninist, yeah.
So
yeah, it's like, sorry, that you're all a bunch of commies. That's
you keep saying it.
Yeah, I'm not the one who put those words in your mouth. You put them in your mouth. And so the question is, what do the Marxists want? The Marxists, I think, pretty much everyone should know at this point, want the abolition of private property, nation states, any kind of hierarchy, justified or not. But I think the most important one is the fact that they want to abolish the family. Now, as the world's leading proponent of dadism, I'm obviously against this. This is a great paper I found on, I can't remember what university website, but it was really useful. And it ties together essentially all of the sources from Marx's letters, from the Communist Manifesto, from Capital, and also what Engels wrote, because you can't really separate Marx and Engels's philosophy at this point. And so it's absolutely brilliant piece that you'll be able to find in the show notes on lotuses.com if you'd like to read it for yourself. And it's really worth your time. But basically, Marx and Engels believe that the abolition of private property and the introduction of socialism would, in its wake, bring a dissolution of the family, because they thought that capitalism had stripped away the sentimental veil that held families together. And so it was now purely a money relation. And their plan, of course, by abolishing property and things like inheritance, was to strip away the money relation that was holding it together, and so that would be the destruction of the family, which seems to me like a horrific thing to do. Don't know why they were so bothered about this. Marx was less bothered about this than Engels, actually. While Marx obviously agreed with Engels' position on it just wasn't something he personally drove at.
I mean, weren't they both terrible fathers?
Actually, no. Engels probably was. I didn't look into Engels, but Marx was actually a pretty good dad.
Then why do they want to destroy his own family?
Yeah, everything about Marx is hypocrisy. Everything, but we'll get to it, right? So they excoriated other socialists for not demanding the abolition of the family, because it was obviously like, you know, real socialism needs the abolition of the family.
Because
the
real socialism is living like a bug.
Yeah, so. It is, which we'll do a premium podcast on, actually, because there's a lot I want to talk about there.
The Bug Manifesto from Starship Troopers.
That is literally going through. Yeah, that's a good title for it as well. But that'll be another premium podcast we're going to do. We've got a couple of good premium podcasts lined up, actually. We'll do the Thick Concepts one soon, because I'm totally... that's going to be a necessary thing to talk about. But anyway, so... Marx didn't really, he wanted to destroy the family. I mean, they literally say, the earthly family is discovered as the secret of the holy family. The former it must itself be theoretically and practically destroyed. And so the earthly family, as he says, must be theoretically and practically destroyed. So it's not exactly clear what form Marx thought marriage would take in a communist society, but Engel filled in the details for us. Marriage would no longer be a legal relationship, but would be a purely private affair between individuals. And so the absence of private property would make sure that everyone was free to just come and go as they like. And since children would be raised communally, they would be free of any concern of relationships between the sexes. Now, the reason this is interesting is because Marx himself was actually quite a good dad. He was a bad husband, but a good dad, right? So Marx himself had recognized that his devotion to communism had ruined his relationship with his wife. However, that doesn't mean that he was a bad father. Marx's relationship with his children does not seem to be at all consistent with their desire to communally raise children. He greatly enjoyed playing and romping with them and was extremely solicitous for their welfare. Part of the reason for his financial problems was his alacrity to spend beyond his income to provide various amenities for his children, including private language tutoring in languages, music, and drama. What a hypocrite. He's a total hypocrite in every aspect.
I'll destroy your family, but not mine.
Yeah, my family's great. Your family has to go. You know, the workers, they're great. I don't want to go over into one of Engels's factories or anything, but the capitalists are oppressing the proletariat. It's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Right, and so it should come as no surprise that Black Lives Matter, of course, had anti-family propaganda. Being a bunch of Marxists, they had this all over their website. This was taken down after a big, you know, a stink was kicked up about this on the internet, going, hang on, are you actually against the nuclear family? They're like, no.
They just got rid of it and then said nothing. I was like,
yeah, exactly. They originally had on there that they wanted a disruption of the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable.
I want to live like cavemen.
They want to. That's what Marx was advocating. They wanted a communal family rather than a personal family.
But what a stupid thing to say as well. Like, Asia never had families until a white man turned up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, total nonsense. And the funny funny reaction to this was how, again, in British political life, because they don't understand Black Lives Matter, they're like, right, okay, we need representation of black people. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to put a black family in Emmerdale. It's like, Marx wouldn't have wanted that. Black Lives Matter don't want that. What are you doing? But they've put a black family in Emmerdale. And it's like, who cares? I don't care. We can go to the next one, John, just because it's that's the one. So that, like, In the light of all of this anti-family rhetoric, I don't actually think that's what Black Lives Matter want.
I kind of like the guys at Emmerdale, because they're probably idiots, but I'd like to think that they're actually playing 4D chess.
That would be nice, but I don't think they are. I don't think they're idiots. I mean, there's no particular reason that anyone should actually be educated on this stuff unless you're like us and you're interested in this sort of thing. Like, what do the cast of and writers of Emmerdale need to know about Marxism?
I think if you're that willing to budge on a, like, because if you're interested enough in politics to just fall as soon as some organization turns up, then yeah, I think you're an idiot. You should investigate the organization before you buckle to their pressure.
You should, and like the footballer had done, you should do your due diligence, but I don't think we can really castigate people for not having done it, because, like, think of the environment that they're in, right? Everyone's like, oh, well, black, you're not, they're a racist attacking black.
But that's
the
thing,
people.
You're either in politics or you're not, you know? And if they're not, then fine, whatever, I don't care.
But again, I'm more than willing to believe that this came from a well-meaning place, because it doubtless did. You know, I just think it's really hilarious. It's the total opposite of what Black Lives Matter wanted. And
I did love in your academic article there, I just noticed, like, he was writing and the immensely popular book, The Woman and Socialism.
Yeah.
It's just like, it sounds like Dadism rewritten. Oh, like, you're gonna rewrite The Woman and Dadism, like, have explained the woman's place in Dadism or something.
The purpose of socialism is essentially to turn all women into unpaid prostitutes. That's their view. There should be no particular...
I thought it was to turn them into men.
Well, yeah. What's the difference?
That's what being a man is.
What did I say? What, okay, oh,
unpaid prostitutes.
Oh, sorry. If you get lots of attractive women who are like, hello, I'd like to be romantically and sexually involved, you're gonna be like, no, I have standards. I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for you're gonna do it because you're a man, and that's what men do. Let's be real. Right?
I'm looking for a wife, actually, but
well, there we go. So
I don't want a prostitute. I don't want to...
Well, exactly. But no, who does? But there we go. That Marx has destroyed the family by making every girl get on OnlyFans. So
yeah. Well, he got what he wanted in the end.
But he loved his own family, so that's okay.
Well, not his wife. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not his wife. Too devoted to communism.
So I wanted to talk about something which is, I don't know. I just feel bad for the AFD because of the way they're being treated, and I wanted to go through it because it's pretty disgusting.
But this is again the progressive future that we have moved into, and this is what is going to happen moving forward, is that the populace, and we've met with the AFD. I gave my talk on white fragility to the AFD, and I've spoken to them at length. You know, while they're drunk, so that's the most important thing.
That's right? When you get to know someone.
Exactly, that's when you get to know someone. And I basically was kind of grilling him about, you know, grilling them about their philosophical beliefs. And
because just for any of the Americans who may not know, they're the populists in Germany.
They're like UKIP for Germany.
Yeah, but they get smeared a hell of a lot because of German history. Of course, they're compared to far right Nazis and all
of
this.
Of course, yeah.
So we spoke to them, and you always have to think in your back of the head, I need to make sure. Yeah. And the more and more we spoke to them, the more they just seem like liberals.
Yeah.
Like the main guy who we spoke to, the MP, he was a liberal in Czechoslovakia. His family fled because he was being persecuted for setting up, what was it, like a capitalist version of the Scouts, he said, the Pioneers. And then he's living in Germany, and he's just like, right, why is this stuff coming here? Like, I escaped to get away from this nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's being pushed through with progressive groups.
Yeah.
And then he joined the AFD and is now a member of parliament.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a Nazi. That's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
That's someone trying to destroy socialism.
Yeah, I don't believe they're any kind of socialist, the AFD. That's the problem they have. They're liberals. They are actual liberals, it seems to me, anyway. And we could be wrong. It could be that there's a big expose tomorrow, comes out, and all in their Discord groups, it's Hitler memes and flags and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay, we could be wrong, and they could have fooled us. But so far, I have seen nothing to suggest that they are Nazis.
The mainstream of the party that we met. I mean, not fringe members. The people who actually run the place.
Parliamentarians. Yeah.
Seem perfectly reasonable people. Anyway, and the way they're being treated for being personally reasonable liberals is just horrible. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
So this, I've got like a guy who, I think he's like a PA for one of them, AFD or something. Sorry if I'm getting your position wrong, but he sent me this. And it's a guy who was just there handing out leaflets about the AFD's position because they have an election coming up. And Antifa turned up and just beat him. They just beat him in the street for handing out leaflets.
So we're actually back to the Weimar Republic.
Yeah, well, they're just attacking people in the streets.
Yeah.
So
armed gangs of communists are hospitalizing people in the streets. Right.
So the politician here is named Schwarz. So he was there with several other AFD activists.
Yep.
And they manned an information booth where they were handing out leaflets in the center of town.
Now, we did exactly this kind of thing campaigning for UKIP.
Yeah, this is very, very normal campaigning.
Totally normal.
I mean, there's nothing extreme about this either. It's just like, here's oppositions. Vote for us if you want to. If you don't, don't. It's so simple. A group of 15 to 20 people carrying Antifa flags and banners turned up and then started attacking the man. They dragged the 36-year-old Stefan Schwarz to the ground and beat him while he was down. As he attempted to call the police, one of the attackers stole his phone. So they just beat him in the streets for handing out leaflets.
That's unreal.
And then when he tried to call the authorities to be like, I'm being beaten up, they took his phone, beat him some more, and then ran off.
That's horrific.
It's just some guy. And it's just like, this is not on. I mean, it's bad enough when you see like the Proud Boys and Antifa brawling in Berkeley.
But they want to fight.
You can tell some of these people are there to do that. But this is just some guy. Like, this is just some random Republican activist or a candidate for a local council just handing out leaflets on the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And just getting beaten up for it.
But this is exactly the sort of thing that led into the rise of the Nazis. That's the problem that I have. It's unchecked communist street violence justified the unchecked, like, I don't want to call them right wing, but unchecked Nazi street violence. And this led into a destructive death spiral that ended up with the Nazis winning. So, like, the authorities should know this. I'm sure they know this. And so that should be the first thing they clamp down on. The first person to throw the first punch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm unaware of any... I'm sure there are neo-Nazi groups in Germany, don't get me wrong.
But
I'm unaware of any AFD, like, street gangs that are starting fights with random Die Linke politicians.
I mean, and a bunch... And this is not the first time AFD politicians have been attacked. I mean, one of the chaps we interviewed that's on the alternate channel, I think it is, had been stabbed in the arm by Antifa.
Yeah, so this was the... He's, like, the youth leader of the youth section of the party. They went to an event in which they were... some guy was mocking them, like, the AFD won't come to our Holocaust movie. They were like, we have no problem with that. Let's go. It'll be funny. Like, you know, just to show you up, and then we'll watch the movie, it'll be great, and we'll go home. So as they were trying to turn up, Antifa guys came out, and they stabbed them with a wine bottle. It was like, right, this is where Germany's at, I guess.
Yep.
The liberals are being attacked by the communists.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, this is not just, like, small things like this. The next one is a link to when the chairman of the party was attacked. And you can see the image there. This is serious.
Jesus Christ.
This was described as an assassination attempt, because it was.
Yeah.
Like, he was hospitalized.
I mean, this is not the first time in European politics. I mean, Pim Fortuyn is the
populist from the Netherlands who was shot in the head by an Owen Jones-type progressive.
Yes, because he was Islamophobic. So literally Macron's Islamo-leftism killed someone.
Yeah, he was complaining about Islamism becoming more common in the Netherlands, and they shot him in the head.
Yeah, and I remember looking at seeing the picture of Pim Fortuyn, and this looks a lot like that. Mm. You know, it's terrifying.
So there was CCTV footage of this. He was just walking along, and then they came out from the site and just beat him over the head. I don't know if it was a wooden plank or a piece of metal, but you can see the damage it did. Oof. And they just left him on the ground completely unconscious, and then I assume people found him. It mentions here, the anti-fascist Spring Bremen, so this is an organization, like a page, took credit for this. They said that they announced that we wanted to free the AfD politician, F. Margetts, the guy, sorry if I'm getting the names wrong, of his fascist ideas on Monday at 6 o'clock local time. They took credit and they were like, we're proud of this.
And how is it that the state are not cracking down on this? Because, I mean, there have been other probably Nazi groups that the state has kicked in the doors of and
would have no problems dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. No problems dealing with. You know, dozens of cops come in, take all their computers and all this sort of stuff, arrest them. But they can just post and brag how they did this. That is disgraceful. That is absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, they've all got their Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts. Those are not gone either. Even in the cultural sphere, this is accepted. This is just part of life.
But this thing, if like Merkel's government wants to say that we're sort of centrist liberals, then that is, I mean, it's clear-cut case. That is unacceptable.
It's just open terrorism.
It's open terrorism. That cannot be done. Those people have to be brought to justice.
And for taking this sort of stuff, I mean, what do you reckon the AfD is treated by the state? Would they be like, okay, you guys need some special protection, at least in the sense when you're campaigning, because you're just being attacked in the streets?
Well, any healthy political society would have that.
Yeah, and not favoritism, but just, okay, we will have our security services look at the people who are assaulting you in the streets. Because
if your politicians are being attacked...
If the state is there to protect anything in a democracy, it's to protect the democracy itself. You know, keep it functioning.
Yeah.
Stop the, you know, candidates being terrorized when they do things. No, the state has decided to put the entire party under surveillance, apparently, because just why not? So there's an agency in Germany which was set up to try and deal with, you know, if a neo-Nazi party tried to rise. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're smeared as a neo-Nazi party for being right-wing in the German sector. So they get this treatment. So they say the agency wrapped up a 2-year investigation into Alternative for Germany, the country's largest right-wing opposition party, and is expected to announce soon that it will place the entire party under surveillance for posing a threat to Germany's political system and violating the constitution.
For posing a threat to Germany's political system that allows communists to assault people in the streets.
So I find it difficult to take them at their word here.
That seems like a political system that needs to be changed.
The unprecedented move would mean that all AfD lawmakers, including several dozen in German parliament, would be put under state surveillance.
Unreal.
MPs.
Unreal.
State surveillance. So they said that the German agency has identified instances of AfD's politicians denigrating Muslim migrants in Germany. Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure the media have cherry-picked some things. They were all treated like animals and potential terrorists, a member of the agency said. I don't believe it for a second. Like, I bet they were probably talking about actual terrorists, and it's like, you know, it comes from Islamism. Oh, they're painting all Islam as terrorism. I just don't buy it. Because I see how they work in the UK, I see how they work in the US.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine it's any better or more honest in Germany. I'm sorry.
They were dehumanized in the speeches. They were compared to animals. The agency report made it quite clear that these people had crossed a line. And then they give you some examples of the things they've said. Yeah. Some AfD politicians have also trivialized Germany's Nazi past. Speaking at an AfD event in 2017, the leader of Flügel Wing, German words, called the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin a monument of shame.
Yeah.
How is that denigrating the Nazi past? Like,
How is that denigrating the Holocaust or something like that?
Like, it is a monument of shame. It's a monument of shame to that period of German history.
Yeah.
And to the German people who did it.
I mean, the Germans aren't going to sit there and go that the Nazi period isn't shameful, right?
I mean, is that what the agency wants? Is that, I mean, does a liberal party look like that? Saying that the Nazi era was something of pride. No, he's saying it's shameful. The monument is shameful there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Well, I mean,
I guess they're trying to frame it as like he's saying the monument shouldn't exist or something, but that's not how I read it.
That's not, at least not what he said there.
Anyway, so, and then they say a year later, an AfD parliamentarian leader likened Germany's Nazi era to, quote, a speck of bird s in more than 1,000 years of successful German history. So, but that's also not denigrating it. He's calling that era bird s.
Yeah.
You know, it is the waste of a bird.
But, I mean, it only lasted for like 12 years.
yeah, it's not a huge part of German history.
Germany is more than 1,000 years old.
As an Englishman, I do disagree that it's 1,000 years of successful history, but that's just Bantz. Yeah. So.
I mean, we'll ask the Poles how they feel about the 1,000 years of German history and see if they think it's a success.
Holy Roman Empire success. Get over it. Anyway.
Prussia. I mean, like, but that's
but,
not
I mean,
the,
how is that denigrating it? Yeah. He's saying it's bird-esque. But that's the reason. That's the reason they're giving for putting the entire party under state surveillance.
You wouldn't say that that's pro-Nazi speech. Like that's,
no, I'd say that's anti-Nazi speech.
Yeah, so would I.
It's like, well, okay. And I spoke to the source we have at the ID and asked him for, you know, why is this going on?
Yeah.
And his response was just, it's an election year. We're used to it. This is just how we get
we
treated.
We get persecuted when there's an election coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I have to wonder whether or not this has to do with some polling that's come out that's actually quite favourable for them.
Oh, really?
So the next link here is a bunch of polling was done, and apparently immigrants and their children are shifting towards centre-right in Germany. That's how they phrase this. So I've got to take some quotes out of this because it's amazing.
Go on, then.
The finding in a new study of the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, a think tank linked to Angela Merkel's Christian Democratic Union, showed that a majority of people in migrant origin favour the country's conservatives, a free market, or even far-right parties. That's how they phrase it.
Oof.
People with immigrant backgrounds now vote like the majority does, not as a group tied to their origin, but according to their values and their personal preferences.
Oh, and is that acceptable to the left wing? Unacceptable to the left wing, is it?
I'm going
to
guess it is.
That, I mean, that's...
They're voting as people, not as brown people.
Our liberal position is that these people should not be sectioned off as in their identity groups, but incorporated into the broader party political spectrum. And so this was always the argument against the Nazis, who would always go, no, they're always going to vote for their ethnic interests. And it's like, well, this is an interesting repudiation of that. And it's interesting how the left are complaining about that too.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Well, you have examples in the UK. I mean, about certain groups in the UK that
the Sikhs and the Hindus vote, and the Jews vote consistently right wing.
I mean, if we pull the Gurkhas, I mean the Asians as well, actually, all voted conservative.
Something like 80% and 90% in some cases.
Yeah.
Whereas like 90% of Muslims vote Labour. So okay.
But because it's, you know, some groups are able to get over racial politics. It's not a thing.
It's not even just that. There's a certain kind of ethic that I think that is appealing to the communities. But anyway, we'll talk about that another
time. Yeah, so they give an example of a man who's joined the Christian Democratic Union. Mm. So the centre-right party in Germany, let's say, the one that's in government, Merkel's, which I feel poison for even saying centre-right.
Yeah, but that's why it's like the right-wing conservatives over here. Sorry, I just hate
so they say that Mr. Hussein had recently battled an initiative by local liberals to rename streets dedicated to Prussian generals who fought against Napoleon as part of an effort to remove references to wars and nationalism from public spaces. So this is German history.
Yeah.
Like, why would we get rid of this? It's Prussia versus France.
Yeah.
What's this got to do with anything?
But why would you want to change that? You know, like, I suppose it's about national pride, isn't it? References to wars and nationalism.
Anything. Yeah. But I mean, take that to its logical extreme. It's like the emperors of the Holy Roman Empire need to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got imperialism in the name or something.
I mean, we would have to take down Nelson's Column. We'd have to,
the Tudors.
Anything named after Trafalgar. Yeah, anything that was influenced by the empire would have to go.
I mean, so he's good for standing up to it.
Absolutely.
Mr. Hussein said his father, who worked in a factory, joined a union with ties to the centre-left Social Democrats before joining the party itself. His mother supports Die Linke, a far-left party. Mm-hmm. So this was when they first came there. The couple worked very hard to get him into a school that prepares academically gifted children for university. There, Mr. Hussein had his first brush with progressive militantism. When fellow students burned their grade certificates in protest against imperialism and state oppression, he just looked at this and decided and gave a statement. We migrant children who struggled to even get there were mystified by that behavior. To us, education was a way out of poverty.
That's because that's what it is.
Yeah. And I just love how he can see the progressive left like burning their own, tuition's probably paid, tens of thousands of euros. And then they're just like, no, this is imperialism. How dare I learn about mathematics? Pathetic. And he's just out there like, what's wrong with these kids?
Yeah.
And he's right to point it out.
Well, good on Mr. Hussein for being like, no, I want Blücher's statue up there. Polish it.
Oh, man. So then they also have a statistic in here that's interesting. 53% of Turkish origin voters said they would support conservative parties in 2019, up sharply from 17% in 2015. So this is a bit old data, but it's, you know,
immigrants are going to save Germany from the Germans.
Literally. Literally. I'm not even joking. So let's get the
I moved to Germany because I like the aesthetic. Please don't get rid of it.
The image is up. So this is the statistics I have. Germans without immigration background. And you can see the shift there. There's a fall in support for the, let's call it the center right.
Yeah.
There's a fall in support for the center left. There's a growth in support for the far left and the Greens, which are also far left hippie communes types. I don't know why they're so popular.
Watermelons.
Yeah, I don't know why they're so popular in Germany. I guess it's just communists, you know?
Yeah.
But then slight support more for the AfD. But it's, you know, mostly growth for the left there for Germans without immigration backgrounds.
Yeah.
And then the next one here, so Germans with immigrant backgrounds. So this is a chap who has a parent who's an immigrant, that kind of thing. They had growth for the center-right and growth for the AfD. You can see the big bump there for the AfD there. But no, you'll also note massive decrease in support for the center-left and the left.
Good.
Just get rid of that. There's also increase for the Greens, but
that's
a universal trait here because Germany's being weird. But then there's the foreigners. Even the foreigners, so literally off the boat types who have just got to Germany, which is the next one. Increased growth for the CDU. You can see the AfD getting a big bump there as well.
Yeah.
But decreased growth for the center-left and the left and increased growth for the Greens because that's how things work.
That's amusing.
I love it because it's like, okay, so that's why you're being treated like you're being treated.
Yeah.
Because even the immigrants are starting to think, hang on, if we keep supporting the far left, they're going to destroy this country.
Well, yeah, exactly. I came to Germany because I thought Germany was a prosperous country that I'd be able to flourish in, and the communists are about to destroy it. Why the would I support that?
So anyway, it's good to see at least, like the some silver lining there. I do feel bad for the AfD because that's the thing as well. This is how you get treated if you oppose what you're talking about. Yes. If you try and stand up against this leftist nonsense, the state will put you under surveillance. You'll be attacked in the streets for even trying to run as a candidate.
Yeah.
There's no easy ride.
It's permissiveness. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, of course there's not. They feel threatened. They feel threatened by a liberal order that isn't anti-patriotic because they are anti-patriotic. And if you're not, then you're a problem. Anyway, it's
so we don't have video comments.
Yeah, we don't have video comments, but
we do have comments.
Yeah, we've got comments from the site. So if you wish to leave a comment, you have to be a member of lotuscs.com. But we
should probably do a little bit of a plug as well because I think we're at 1,200 people now watching.
Oh, right?
So we should tell the folks who didn't get the intro part why we're not on YouTube.
Yes,
today.
So we're not on YouTube today because we've been given a strike for something I don't believe we said. We've been told that. We are not allowed to say that there's widespread glitches or election fraud.
Criticism of the election.
That changed the election, which we didn't say because it was a video talking about the media propaganda surrounding the Capitol riots. The trial, in fact. So it wasn't even about the election, really, but you know, YouTube have struck us anyway, so we can't upload or stream there to it for a week. So we will be taking questions, of course, as we usually do, in fact, on the page where you're at.
But this is a reason to support us on the website. Like,
yes.
You know, we get taken off that this is where we are going to be. And if you want to know what we're doing and you want to keep watching the show, sign up. That's how this is going to have to work in the future at some point.
And Christian Watkins says, hey, guys, sat here self-isolating when I literally have worse common colds than this. Wanted to know what your thoughts are on Illinois banning violent games, including GTA 5. I did not know they'd done this.
That's not constitutional.
That's not constitutional. The representative there said that banning violent video games will help stop the plague of crime, even though he admitted that crime had been bad there for many decades. Didn't realize Knights of the Old Republic and Time Splitters made criminals in Chicago hijack Cadillacs in 2021. All the best, folks. Well, obviously, this is a massive excuse. It is not video games that cause crime or violence, and there have been many, many studies, longitudinal ones, over many years, that have now come to the conclusion that there doesn't appear to be any particular effect. So I don't agree with that statement. I think that's a cope because nobody wants to talk about the real issue, which is, I think, the lack of fathers in these homes. I really think that's the case. But, I mean, no one wants to talk about it, so we'll carry on. Josh, in fact, and it's not that no one wants to talk about it, it's just everyone knows exactly what my position on this is because, like, obviously, I'm an anti-Marxist. I think there should be fathers in homes. I agree with Marx's behavior, in fact. You know, go and love your kids. Go and show them interest. You know, go and pay for their schooling and get them private tuition on various things. Marx was
so they
right.
can see the progressives burning it and then decide that this is cancer.
Exactly. Marx was right on how you should treat your children. Just wrong on the theory of the family. Josh A says, I'm a little annoyed at your dig at teachers yesterday. I've been teaching in London for... Oh, sorry, man. I've been teaching in London for about a decade now, and I can't wait to come back to teaching normally. Many of my colleagues are the same. However, the unions are very disconnected from their membership. Most of the members purely in case of need of legal protection, instead rather than for any support of the goals of the union. Unfortunately, the union then takes the silence of most of the membership as a carte blanche to go ahead with their preferred actions. The NEU is a terrible organisation. Were I to raise any of my issues, I'd probably be kicked out and ostracised from. Maybe the unions need to be broken up. Thoughts? Yeah, and...
I think we did actually say the unions yesterday.
I'm pretty sure we did say it was the unions. But the and the sort of, you know, the teachers who run these things.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a teacher like you. It will be the unions who are doing these things.
Yeah, but if we didn't make that clear, fair enough. But, yes, if they're doing all of this in your name and you aren't standing up, even though there will be consequences...
Well, are you a member? Are you paying dues?
You probably have to.
I mean, I don't think it's compulsory in the UK.
Well,
I don't know.
It's probably not compulsory, but like it's going to be one of those things where socially it might be compulsory, right? But the thing is, then you have to really start taking it to this union. You know, you need to get other like-minded teachers together and actually have it out with the union. This isn't
going to change the union. Union's always going to be corrupt.
Sure, I agree, and I do think maybe they should be broken up. You know, maybe unions should be temporary phenomenon. So every 5 years or something, it just gets reconstituted, and so any of the previous people aren't allowed to sit on the union again or something like this. I don't know, right? But the point is, if these people are operating in your name and you disagree with it, you have to do something about that. We can't do something about that for you. You know, they're trading on you as a person and your influence. And if you don't, they'll just carry on doing all of this until the end of time because they'll think that you approve. So you have to start organizing.
I was speaking to someone the other day about this with unions and political donations. Apparently the committee of the unions can just make a political donation in the name of the union and not have to consult its members at all. I just never realized that they had no obligation to do that.
So they can just take union member money and give it to a party.
Yeah, they can just take your money and be like, we're giving this to the Labour Party, screw you. And it's like, okay, well, why am I a member then? And
I hate this.
This is awful. But yeah, best of luck. But I would definitely recommend not joining unions that are like that.
But our apologies for suggesting that all teachers were in favour of this. You are right to correct us on that. Radnar says, hey Carl, ever thought about doing a premium history series where you talk in depth about Roman history and how it correlates to the modern day? And then I could finally understand all the references you make. Love your work. Well, yes, we have these things planned. The problem really is the lockdowns, but we've got a wonderful chap called Bo Dade, who writes history articles on notices.com for us. And have we got one this week going up? What day? Do we know? Thursday, but we've got a few others on there already. And his articles are great. His writing style, it's in there's a kind of English historian tradition in which
sorry, I read a joke.
Oh, right. I thought you were laughing at that. There is. Where there's a kind of lyrical way to write, and he's got this style down. And so his writing is very, very enjoyable to read. And obviously, he's got his facts. He's got a degree in history. So he's been writing us some great articles about the comparison that we have now between what's happening in America and in other countries and sort of fall of the Roman Republic. But also there are parallels to other times in history. And the one that will be going up is the modern day Marat, who is a very, very fearsome French revolutionary firebrand who has startling comparisons to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And incidentally, Marat was killed by some insane radical left winger. Just saying.
They just keep killing people.
Yeah, well, it's the death spiral, isn't it? The purity spiral. When it comes down to, who's the most left, then like Obama was saying, the circular firing squad. So, yeah, that's left-wing
then
politics.
Then why are you in it, Obama? Yeah,
that's left-wing politics. If you didn't understand it when you got into it, then your problem. But when the lockdown is over and the government allows us to see other human beings, I'll get Bo on and we will do history podcasts because I love doing history podcasts. Usurper in Chief says, how long do you think the blue pills will keep believing the legacy media? Surely there has to be a limit to how far reality and the narrative can diverge. Good question. It could be quite a long time if China is anything to go by. Dylan has presented the C.S. Lewis. The tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive because the cupidity of the robber baron at some point is satiated, but the Those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, because they do so with the approval of their own conscience. Yes, that's a very excellent quote. Baron von Merxhausen says, I have had the least technical difficulties with this new streaming source. Good job and applause for the technical team. That's you guys. But no, thank you. Thank you. They work really, really hard, and they've done a really great job today. Because obviously we weren't expecting to come into the office and be like, yeah, have a strike. Have a bloody nose from YouTube. So thanks, yeah. YouTube.
Also, if you were watching the previous one where we had like a bunch of like buffering and yeah. some others, that wasn't us. It's not even our internet. It's just YouTube's service was bad. And it was like, okay.
Don't know what to tell you. But I'm really glad to see this one works really well. And we'll probably just use this continuing on to the future. So, you know. Natalie Collier says, since you're not on YouTube at the moment, does that mean you can read out the spicier comments? If so, then I'd like to offer again my take that the first white slave traders were actually super woke. They were simply buying from and supporting black-owned businesses.
Oh my god. Well, they certainly were buying from black-owned businesses, because they were buying from African kings.
Yeah, the king of Benin.
So,
I mean,
he literally refused to give up slavery. Like, when the British came to him, he said, I'll do anything the British say except give up the slave trade.
And his exact words were, the slave trade is the glory of my people.
So?
Because there wasn't much black solidarity in 17th century Africa, it turns out. It turns out that the coastal kingdoms, the African kingdoms, would send military expeditions into the interior, capture people, bring them back, and then sell them to slaves. And this was happening for a long time before the Europeans turned up. It was just the way that the world was. But
I don't know, because we might want to do you want to re-upload these clips to YouTube once we're able to?
Well, sure, but like not that one.
But that's my reason for talking about whether or not we're doing spicy.
Not in the main segments that we upload, I suppose. Chris says, so can we all finally agree that Twitter is the lowest point of human society and achievement, as it promotes and rewards vomiting out whatever thoughtless drivel pops into one's head at any moment? That's not even the problem, man, right? If the problem was literally just that, it promoted and rewarded vomiting out thoughtless drivel, that would not be harmful.
That would be Stephen Fry's Twitter feed.
Exactly, that would be Stephen Fry.
I got in a taxi. Oh, I'm baking a lasagna. And it's just like, shut up.
Okay, what's provoked that?
Yeah, is it? No, because he's renowned for being very, very boring on Twitter.
Well, that's because he's been driven off Twitter a bunch of times by woke activists.
Yeah, but I mean, he actually stopped a while back because people kept complaining. He was like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, my tweets are just garbage because it was just nothing. But that would be fine. It's not that, though.
Yeah. The problem is it enables and facilitates insane left-wing mobs of kids to go around persecuting adults and ruining their careers. Who wants that? Ruben Sanchez says, I am a graduate student in microbiology, even in the hard sciences. This SJW BS is everywhere. There's even a micro Twitter community with tons of pronouns, and my lab mate is an actual communist. I am a cowboy, so my pronouns are ye/whore. That's great, actually. I really like that.
I kind of want to do that with the engineer from TF2 now.
Gina Carano, if you're listening, change it. Go on. Pronouns ye/whore.
Just like Photoshop really badly a cowboy hat on your profile picture as well.
I mean, she's probably got like a prop or something.
I don't know, but if it's badly done, I think it'll be funnier.
That's true.
More meme worthy.
Yeah. Ye-haw. You need a whore, John.
No, that sounds very English, like an English cry. Ye-haw, come here.
Zerst says, I just want to say the article by Dr. Michael Rechtenwald on the Great Reset on the website is fantastic. Can we get that up, John? Because it is genuinely fantastic. Michael is pulling together all of the outgrowths of the Great Reset and like weaves them together, so it's a fully understandable situation that we're in and a narrative of the situation we're in. And then he comes to his conclusion at the end, of course. It is a genuinely fantastic article that he's done. And we're very, very proud to be able to host so many phenomenally good academics. The John So it's a long read, but it's totally worth your time, because he's a professor of philosophy. He knows what he's talking about. Same with the one about Macron's wokeness coming home to roost from John Tangney. These guys are phenomenally good, and we've got Stephen Hicks and various others, and so we're really lucky that there are a selection of academics who actually are happy to have us host their articles and give us a place to have these arguments out, because in a lot of places they can't do this. And a lot of publications will just, that where they write, will refuse these kinds of articles. So it's nice to be a place where the forbidden conversations can happen. Eric says, question, since you have an opinion on what makes a good dad, what about uncles? What, in your opinion, makes a good uncle? It's essentially the same as being a dad, just temporary. You know, just play with the kids, look out for them, you know, buy them some sweets if they've been good, you know, discipline them if they've been bad. It's just the same principles apply, really.
I don't have an uncle, so I don't actually know what an uncle's like.
Oh, I've got loads. Or had loads. Yeah. But Alistair Crowley, presumably commenting from beyond the grave, I guess the Satanism worked in the end, I suppose. In regards to cartoons, the West tries to stir up something in Japan with anime because black people are often stereotyped and voiced by Japanese people. Surprise, surprise. The Japanese netizens replied with, do I need an elf to play an elf?
That's good.
The answer is also yes. I saw a great one from the TERF community the other day. You know, when they're like, trans women are women, pantomime horses are horses. I mean, it's just such a oof, oof.
Good.
Yeah, do I need an elf to play an elf? Pantomime horses are horses.
Yeah. Although I do kind of love the just crudeness of the lady earlier. Is like, you egg cartonless gay boys in makeup.
Bags or whatever, yeah. Just unreal. Like, come on, can we get her on the podcast? Ian Henderson, for the last couple of months, my day has started with a rare hour of listening to an intellectual discussion of events in the world that we currently live. This morning, I bring up what I've chosen to refer to as PooTube to get my morning fix, and what do I find? Nothing. So I signed up for premium content. It's good to see that not all in Old Blighty have drunk the Kool-Aid. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate every subscriber. Callum says, I hope this is the start of YouTube getting off of YouTube. Love your work, and we'll be looking forward to tomorrow's stream. Keep up the good work. 12 out of 12 burgers. Yeah, it's well, I mean, ultimately, it would be nice, but the thing is, so many people use YouTube, you've got to. Yeah, it's just the fact of it.
I mean, if we can grow this to a level, like, I don't know what Alex Jones's numbers are, but I think that he's getting, like, regularly 30,000 watches.
Really?
Something like that. So, I mean, if we can get that level, absolutely.
Oh, that'd be amazing, yeah.
But, you know, if we can get to the same level on YouTube, off YouTube as on YouTube.
Yeah, that would be amazing, but YouTube is just where everyone is.
I know, but it's going to take a hell of a long time to get there.
Yeah, but we'll keep going. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're not funded by YouTube's ad revenue or anything like that. So them saying, like, for another podcast, this might be a tremendous problem. Because, like, oh, no, we don't get ad revenue for a week. And that's bad. But that's not how we've been working our finances. We work our finances by people subscribing on the website. We're closing in on 5,000 subscribers now. So thank you, all you good people. This is why we work so hard to produce premium, and as much as we can to produce premium content, because we believe you're worth it, and we want to pay our way, basically. But yeah, so we're actually not phased when YouTube say, right, okay, boom, you get hit for a week. It actually doesn't,
it's not that bad,
change anything for us. So yeah, but we want to obviously reach as many people as possible. So there you go. Long Talks on the Nietzsche says, friendly reminder, Marx's manifesto wasn't a call to action so much as it was his own musings on how the inevitable result of capitalism would be followed by communism. A position he later admitted was incorrect and personally retracted, because even he recognized that well-off young bleeding-heart liberals don't know anything when they're young and have no real-world experience. Yeah, this is the thing. When he was an older man, he said, look, I'm not a Marxist.
Yeah, didn't he run into a bunch of people and they were like, we're all Marxists, and he's like, well, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're underselling the Communist Manifesto there. Because, I mean, at the end of it, he does state an explicit call to action. So I think you could charitably say maybe Marx matured during his life, found himself.
He grew out of Marxism.
He grew out of Marxism, yes. I think that's one way. But we'll probably get a load of response videos. Well, if we were on YouTube, we'd get a load of response videos from BreadTube going, no, look at this. And I would love to hear that, in fact.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some certain letters that he's written over. No, I can't talk.
Actually, we can. We can't get suspended from YouTube. Thug Life Bear, I just want to latch onto what Callum said earlier. I believe we should turn it into a mantra. You're either into politics or you're not. If you're in, you ought to read up on what you're supporting. That is a good point.
Because I have endless sympathy for people who are not into politics, who just have this happening to them.
And I totally wouldn't come along and force my politics on them either.
Because that's part of being in a liberal democracy as well, I think. It's a tenet that appear to, which is, if you don't want to, fine, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, you're right, and you should be able to live your life away from all of this craziness. Yeah. But they won't leave you alone. Socialists will never leave you alone, mm-hmm. because they don't believe in that principle. Yeah. They believe that all the non-political people are just the people to bully into becoming socialists.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you believe that the personal is political, then there is no distinction between the public and private life.
What a horrible world to live in.
Yeah, it's awful. Awful. I mean, this is where we get to pronoun policing for Star Wars actresses. Hmm. I mean, can you even imagine? I don't give a damn what her political opinions are. You know, why would I care? I don't... Anyway, Will the Impaler. Please, can you do a book club on the Bill Gates book that they keep advertising on the radio? I don't want to read it, but I want to know what kind of horrors it contains. Come on, guys, take the bullet for us. Hugo!
Bill Gates's book.
Yeah, I'll get you to read it. The next book club I'm going to do is going to be after the premium podcast about thick words that I keep shilling but haven't done yet. But I want to make sure I do a good job of it. So we're not going to rush it.
Just saw one of the comments there. The Lotus Eater's getting removed from YouTube is like the Clarkson meme. Oh no! Anyways,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's actually kind of liberating because I don't feel so constrained. So the next book club is going to be Brave New World. And I personally, and you can hold me on this, this is going to be the best analysis of Brave New World you will ever find on the internet, not just from up until this point, but in the future, in perpetuity. I'm going to reveal dimensions of this book that you didn't even think were possible, because it just happens to have hit on a big confluence of like all these things that I've been thinking about that all actually... like just happened to be included in Brave New World. And I'm going to be able to tease all of these out in a way that many other, I don't think any other commentators have been able to do. And I'm really looking forward to doing it. In fact, I read the book when I was younger, and I've been listening to the audiobook on my bike ride back and forth. And I've been re-listening to it to make sure the things I haven't missed, and there are things I've missed. This is going to be the best one so far. But our book club's one of the bits that's the best bit of the website anyway. But anyway, Adam Ingham says, this episode was the best so far. Screw YouTube. Speak your mind. Baker's dozen out of a dozen.
Is that the English version of burgers?
I think it is, yes. Yeah. We do it in loaves of bread, which I disapprove of. Keto well, bread for life.
Oh, God. It's your conquest against bread.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Nicholas says, isn't it funny how The Simpsons are more concerned about a black character being voiced by a white actor than the decades of the joke long the decades long joke of a father choking his son? Yep. The Civic Nationalist says, when all is said and done, the lockdowns are over and the COVID is gone. Remember who called for lockdowns. Remember those who called for tyranny, because they are the Von Papens of this century, allowing evil to propagate because they thought they could control it. That's a really well formulated point. This is one of the things I hate about sort of just cancel culture generally. It's like during the French Revolution, you have the left in control for a very long time. They do terrible, terrible things. They fight international wars. They go through civil wars. They persecute their opponents. They just end up executing dozens and dozens of them at a time. You know, then they go into the terror and execute thousands. Then you get the reaction, which is the Thermian reaction, which is essentially the rule of the Proud Boys. And this is something that myself and Josh will probably do a podcast on, because Josh likes the French Revolution. And he's very well versed in it. And it's very amusing, because they are literally...
What are they? They're like Napoleon simps or something.
But they're pre-Napoleon. Napoleon comes after them. But they're kind of like the Cavaliers in the English Civil War, the Cavaliers and the Roundheads. They're kind of like the Cavaliers. And so they're very up themselves, very bold, brash, and they've got no time for communism.
What's the problem?
Exactly.
Sounds like good boys.
Exactly. We're all Thermians now. But right, okay, so we got some more. Yeah, okay.
Watched a vid on the Companion Cavalry yesterday. What are your thoughts on why Alexander was a better general than Caesar?
Ooh, so the comparison between Alexander and Caesar is actually a really good one, because they both came into very professional armies that someone else made. With Alexander, it was his dad Philip that made this revolutionary army, and with Caesar, it was Marius who made a revolutionary army. And they both use these to conquer vast empires, basically. So the question of is Alexander, and not why, is Alexander a better general than Caesar, is a very, very long and complex one. And you will find...
Is he there?
What?
Like, I don't know. I haven't read enough. But I always, like, the stuff I have read about Alexander's conquests, it seems like a lot of luck was involved with him. Like, he's got everything set up for him to just go out and destroy it.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Whereas Caesar, like, I read some of the stuff he does, and I'm just like, I would never think to do that, to try and position himself, or build that wall. You know, the, like, two-sided wall.
Yeah, Alesia, yeah. But the thing is, Alexander has many of his own examples of that. Like, for example, the Siege of Tyre. Do you know anything about this?
No.
It's amazing, right? So Tyre was an island off the coast of the Middle East, and they were like, get lost, Alexander, we don't care, you're not going to come out here. You know, you literally can't do anything. So Alexander just started filling it in and built a causeway just of dirt. just filled it in, the ocean. And so now it's not an island. Now it's a peninsula. And then he conquered it, obviously, sacked it, sold everyone in slavery, and moved on.
Is it still there?
Well, yeah, it's a peninsula now. It's not an island.
There's still a peninsula.
Oh, yeah. No, there's permanent change.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, based. You know, I mean, like, you know, Alexander was a great general. Okay. No question. It's just that it's easy to... There are sort of like three major battles for Alexander to knock out the Persian emperor. And these were huge open field battles where it's not that he had an advantage, but in hindsight, it looks like he had an advantage, right? And so it looks like you could say, oh, well, you know, Caesar has all these really detailed things. Like, yeah, because Caesar was writing his own diaries and sending them back as dispatches saying, Caesar traveled to Gergovia and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because the way I was interpreting it,
it was propaganda.
Like, there was serious chance of Caesar losing, whereas Alexander just seems destined to win.
Yeah, but that's because Alexander's... Alexander's biography is written after his death by the people who knew him, and at that point they were all kind of convinced that he was a godly figure, that was, you know, okay, his father was Zeus or whatever, and he'd done so much. But if you'd been reading these documents as they were going along, then it probably wouldn't have seemed that way. Whereas, and I mean, he wasn't destined to win, neither was Caesar, and they both doubtless struggled through a hell of a lot. So it's I don't think that I would say that Caesar is better than Alexander, or Alexander is better than Caesar. What I would say is that Alexander was braver than Caesar, because Alexander himself was constantly in the thick of it, whereas Caesar was a nerd. I think Alexander, if it had been a one-on-one fight, Alexander would have crushed Caesar just like a bug, easily. Daniel Williamson, here's an idea. Try to get the left to try and cancel you, free promo and a lot more traction. It's just easier not to be cancelled, though, to be honest. I just skipped a bunch by accident. How's it?
Charlie the Beagle.
Yep.
Regarding Alesia Banks, if she had married an Irish man under Irish law, she's entitled to citizenship after 3 years of marriage. I don't know who that lady is.
Azalea Banks.
Azalea Banks.
She's the one who got the menorah ring and said, right, I'm Jewish now.
Oh, cool.
If I can catch...
So now she's Irish as well.
If I can catch Jewish nut, I can be Jewish.
Well, she's catching Irish nut, I guess.
Well, no, she was Jewish. But yeah, Thomas Brown, I can't wait for The Brave New World. I read it recently, couldn't help but file it in my non-fiction collection. Yeah, there's so much to it, I'm not even going to get into it. Christopher Cousins, I live in a 98% white country. How are corporate companies expecting to get more and more BAME staff into a company and there's only 2% of the talent pool to pick from? Way to statistically pick the least qualified. Well, they have their progressive marching orders from Twitter, and so now that's what they have to do.
Yeah,
they've got no choice. This is a question more around an article, the one on the Great Reset. I worry that comments like, in his first 30 days in office, Biden has signaled his total allegiance to the Great Reset objectives and his corporate socialist overlords. Stops him from being able to share with normal people. It seems flippant and bad for optics. No matter how true it may be, it sounds like it will allow the other side to assume bad faith. I feel like people would dismiss it out of hand and make more of this site like an echo chamber. How do you feel about this? Well, I didn't want to editorialize someone else's words. If you disagree with it, you can say why you disagree with it. And if that's it, then that's it. You know, but that's just like one line out of, like, I don't know, something like 5,000 word piece or something. So, you know.
It depends on what it is. I assume this is Hugo. Hugo usually tries and writes.
No, Michael Rechtenwalder.
Rechtenwalder. So. Yeah. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to editorialize his words for him. I mean, that might be a fair criticism that you might want to raise with him. I'm sure he's got an email address or something that you could email him about.
Oh, there's a comment section on the article, isn't there?
Yeah, but you might not see that. So. And Baron von Merxhausen says, the Greens are quite far left in Germany as well nowadays. They're far left everywhere. They're just watermelons. Green on the outside, red on the inside. Here's an excerpt from the communal election adverts. We stand for climate just politics. Social, diverse, queer, feminist, anti-racist. I would not call them centre anything. Did you call the Greens centrist?
I didn't call them centrist. Oh, or at least I better not have.
Yeah.
But I think I called them weird because like the popularity they have in Germany is unparalleled anywhere else on earth.
It's because of climate propaganda.
Germany, you know?
No one is in favor of the climate becoming bad. And so anyone who's like, we're against the climate
I'm for polluting
bad,
rivers.
Yeah, exactly. No one's in favor of that.
Clip that.
So if you've just got like, you know, I'm against bad things and there's no one for bad things, then your popularity goes up. Natalie Collier again. Petition for the patron saint of dadism to be Hank Hill from King of the Hill. Yes. Yes, or either that or Al Bundy from Married with Children.
It's got to be Al Bundy.
No, well, Hank Hill's,
no, ma'am.
Hank Hill's probably better for it, to be honest. But yes, right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, whether you are on Facebook DLive or the website itself. If you want more content from us, you, of course, can sign up, check out all our premium content. We've got loads there, and it's all really, really good, and we're really proud of it. And there will be more to come. We're back at the same time right here tomorrow, 1 p.m. UK time, so we'll see you then.